This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, Once Upon a Farm, and Thrive Cosmetics. Thank you all for making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love.
If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, so nice to be back.
Oh
with
my
you.
God, episode two, Jamie. We are
episode
rolling
two, season nine.
How did that
Bishas? I don't even know.
What just happened Bishas. There? What
I
was
did.
That?
I just said that. I don't
what
know.
What was that?
I don't know. It's late.
It is late.
We're recording late.
We
today.
Are. But mm-hmm. Jamie, mm-hmm. I have something that's, well, we have. It's not me, but I'm just saying I'm about to tell.
It can be you.
You
can be the way.
But there's something that's so exciting for our listeners, or I hope they find it as exciting as we do. But we have this new cool thing because we want to hear from you all. We want to hear your questions and your thoughts. And
always.
Right, what happens is everybody emails us and then we're always like, oh, would you maybe make a voice memo out of that and then send us? And then they're like, what? How do I do that?
Or also, it's in the inbox, and Robin's like, Jamie, can you get to that inbox at some point? Jamie, there's some emails in the inbox. Could you help me get to those?
I put it in the Jamie folder.
That's what happens too. Put it in the Jamie folder.
So somebody emailed us.
There's a lot of emails sometimes.
Somebody emailed us this really cool like beta app, and they were like, you could try this for your podcast. And what it's going to do is we have a website, and it's called, okay, are you ready for this? It is sayhi.chat/ovaries.
All right, write that down.
Say it again, Jamie.
Sayhi.chat /ovaries. You can remember that even in your commute.
I know. Say hi. .chat/ovaries. Make it into a song. Say
hi. You got
hi.
This.
We haven't even told them what it does yet.
Chat ovaries. Say hi. .chat.
Ovaries.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay, now we're going to tell you what it does.
Okay.
You go there and you can record a 60-second question or comment, and you can submit it for a chance to be included in our podcast because we want to do this new segment where we hear from you all.
We hear from you, you right? lovely, beautiful people.
So, let's say you love this episode, but you think I said something dumb. No, you think I said something smart and nice and fun. No. Then you just go to sayhi.chat/ovaries and you record it and then you hit submit once you're good with it. If you're not good with it, you can re-record it mm-hmm. and then you submit it and then we get it and then we can put it in the podcast.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what? Honestly, if you want to fact check us, if you know a fact that we don't know.
I thought you said fact check us. Fact I was like, check.
If you
want to
fact check
mean.
Us, no, fact check. Okay. You can do that too. We'll take those two because we're the first to admit we don't know everything.
But I think that's what's so cool about this is like if you had, it doesn't have to be about us. I was really just kidding with that. Yeah, but like, let's just say you listened to an episode and it struck a chord in you mm-hmm, or you were like, oh, I disagree or whatever feelings you have. Mm-hmm. 60 seconds, record
throw
it, send it to us.
Throw it up there and we can put it on the podcast.
And we may add it into a podcast.
Yeah.
Say hi. .chat/ovaries.
There we go.
Bam.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Done.
Okay. We have to say a very special thank you to our newest Patreon members, Wendy and Jenny Lee. Thank you, Wendy and Jenny Lee.
Wendy and Jenny Lee!
You guys rock. Thank you so much. God. And if you want to help us make this content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community and do just that. You're going to do a good thing and you're going to get bonus content. Oh, and also at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get video interviews of most episodes, which is really awesome. And they are dropped a day early. So you are in the know before the rest of us, before the rest of them is in the know. It's so good. So you're going to go head to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join our Patreon community and get that bonus content and help us make this content.
Amazing. All right, Helen. We're done with all the business. We're moving into the intro.
We told her we were going to make this quick and then we get sidetracked.
Helen said we're liars. Okay. Lily and Virginia, listeners, we love them.
Yes.
They wanted to share their story because Lily had not heard us tell a story of a couple going straight to IVF instead of, you know, starting off with like the less medicated routes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Lily had to talk Virginia into it, but it turns out it likely saved them from a bunch of heartaches, which was amazing to hear. And we're not going to tell you anymore. You're going to have to listen because their story is wonderful and beautiful. And we just want you to hear it.
Helen.
I mean,
roll the tape, Helen.
She's right next to you. I don't know why you're screaming.
Well, she's going a little deaf. I mean, it's like, I don't know if you've noticed, Jamie, but she can't.
Aids.
Just
she
put them in, Helen.
Them.
There's no shame. Helen, roll it. Roll it, Helen.
Oh my God.
Roll.
Everybody is pulling their headphones out of their ears right now.
Hi, Lily and Virginia.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
It's so nice to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be talking to you guys today. Finally.
Where are you guys?
In Houston.
Houston.
Well, we're so excited. We love when listeners reach out and want to share their story. So I feel like we should just like get right to it and talk about your elevator pitch. Are you two ready?
I think so. Are you ready?
You got this. You got this.
On your mark, get set, go.
So this is Virginia and Lily. We are here today to talk to you about our journey becoming parents. We are very close to having our little baby Sawyer. We are having a girl, and she's due any day, really. We had a close call yesterday, so we were kind of worried we wouldn't make today's podcast, but she's still cooking, so we're okay. And we just really wanted to share with you about why we chose to go IVF. It really wasn't common. There wasn't a lot of information out there when we were researching different ways of starting a family. And for me, I was a lot more reserved about going IVF. I really wasn't on board at first. But my wife, Lily, she kind of talked me into it. And I have no regrets. And I'm super glad that we did that route. I mean, it saved us probably a lot of heartache in the long run.
Boom. Bam. Okay. All right. Well, I didn't realize you're like about to burst. Wait, who's pregnant?
I am.
Lily's pregnant. Okay.
I knew you were pregnant, but I didn't know it was that close. How close is your due date?
Well, our official due date is the 23rd. I'm almost 38 weeks, but I'm already dilated. So.
Any minute. So happy.
By the way, I also think it's so interesting that you all are sharing the name. We never did because I was so afraid someone would say, give some feedback that they didn't like it and that it would taint it for me. But I think I love that you're sharing it.
Honestly, the name was what made me feel comfortable and good with having a girl.
Oh, really? Oh, we have to dig into that.
Mm-hmm. I really wanted a boy. Yeah. Uh-huh. But it was the name that was my aha moment of, oh my God, I know we're going to have a girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, that's our daughter. Like, I can see her.
Well, a name puts it like makes it be a more real thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not just this idea of future baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But we did have a boy's name. And so, of course, you would think that I would have thought, well, we have a boy's name. I was very connected with the boy's name. I liked it a lot. But
I'm surprised it also wasn't Sawyer.
Could be Sawyer.
Well, Sawyer was on both the boy and girl list, but Grady is a family name on Lily's side. And so we tried to fit Gray in. Our best friend's name is Gray. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're naming her Sawyer Gray. And if it was a boy, it was a Graydon. And so either way, we had it was Graydon Drake. So I joked with her a lot that I'm a big duck hunter, and either way, she was going to have some kind of duck intertwined in the middle of her name. I was like, that's
that works. I freaked out when I found out I was having a boy because I never thought I would have a boy, and it took me some serious working through stuff, which is just crazy and ridiculous. But I get it. I totally get it. I had a hard time coming to terms with the fact that I created a boy. That's like, no. Yeah. No, I didn't.
Actually, there's a big story about, well, one, I was having a girl, and then two, Lily's discomfort, and actually probably a little PTSD around the potential of having a boy.
I have eight nephews. The oldest one's 24. Oh. So it's just a long line of boys.
Yeah.
I was ready for a girl. That's all.
Yeah. Isn't it funny, though, how much stock we put in the sex of our babies? Isn't it funny, right? Because also, especially us LGBTQ folks, we know that gender really in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. Much. It really doesn't. We don't know what it's going to turn out to be. But we put so much stock in this fear of, oh my God, I made a boy. What the hell happened? You know, and it's ridiculous, but it's a real thing. And it's real feelings that we all have when we make these babies.
I was like so anti like gender reveal and all that. Like I didn't want to do any of that stuff because I feel like it puts too much pressure on like gender identity, I guess. Yeah.
And it starts forest fires.
That's true. There's that. I mean, dangerous these days. But like and I told her, I was like, I don't like pink or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
I was like, if she wants to play with Tonka trucks and like dress like a boy, I don't care. I was like, I just have this like need to parent a girl.
I know.
For like whatever reason.
All right. So let's dial back to this decision to go straight to IVF.
Yes.
Like you tell us, you know, first about when you wanted to have a baby and how that all and, you know, the beginning parts of how you got there.
Well, really, I think, you know, when we met, I was in a place where I was already in my late 30s. And I'd always wanted to have kids. And then as I got into my late 30s, you know, pushing the 38, 39 realm, I thought, well, maybe it's just not in the cards for me. But I have wonderful nieces and nephews, and I'll just continue to be a great, you know, a wonderful aunt, to be the token aunt. Yeah. And so then Lily and I met, and we kind of talked about having kids in the beginning a little bit, what family would look like. And she wasn't like gung-ho, like, yes, I want to have a baby, I want to get pregnant. And so I thought we were probably just kind of on the same realm of, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We're good with that.
Which, by the way, that's funny because it can't just happen. That's true, hilarious. True. You sounded like a straight couple saying that.
We forget that. So you forget that in the moment, though. I mean, if it happens, it happens, you know, because
it happens,
you know.
If we happen to swing by a clinic, buy some sperm, have a doctor put it in there and spend $25,000, well, then so be it.
Yeah.
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 Something like that.
So So we need to just remind everybody that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We talk about BetterHelp a lot on this show, and this month we are discussing some of the stigmas around mental health.
Yes, many people think therapy is for so-called crazy people, but therapy doesn't mean something is wrong with you, folks. It means you recognize that all humans have emotions. Yeah, yeah. And we need to learn to control them, not avoid them.
And we've been taught that mental health shouldn't be a part of normal life, but that's wrong too. I mean, we take care of our bodies with the gym, the doctor, and nutrition. We should be focusing on our minds just as much.
Sometimes you just need a little help to get through tough times, right? Or even regular times. Let's be real. Yeah, you and I went to therapy to smooth things out, if you recall, Robin.
We sure did. And thank God, I'm not sure we'd sell the podcast if we hadn't gotten that help.
Agreed. Agreed. And we fall back on those tools often together.
Mm-hmm. We sure do. I'm falling back on one of them right now.
Exactly. What?
I'm just kidding. Just JK, JK. Okay. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
Yeah. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Amazing. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And if these ovaries could talk, listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/OCT.
Amazing. That's BetterHelp.com/OCT.
There we go. How old, Lily, were you when you guys met?
If we can
ask. Yeah, if you don't mind us asking.
Well, she wish I had that. She thought I was 33 because we had a mutual friend who told her I was 33, but I was actually 27. And
add a girlfriend. Get in there.
Well, I didn't know. And you know, when you start talking to someone for a while, you know, when do you go back and ask? Like, we'd been talking for weeks at that point. We'd gone on a date, and I just assumed she was 33. There was just not a need for another conversation. So when it came out that she was in her 20s, I was like, oh my God.
You're like, what have I done?
Oh my God. I don't want to be your experiment.
The way that story is told is totally up for debate because I have since consulted our early text messages because I still have my old phone. And I was like, no, we talked about my age before our first date. Because then we talked about my age again on our first date.
Lily's got the receipts.
I do. I came with receipts.
Yeah, but Virginia just didn't want to hear that right now.
No.
Virginia was interested.
She didn't. She didn't.
No.
Okay. Yeah. She was interested. Okay. She already liked.
She was blinded by your beauty and she was like, let's keep this moving.
Yeah. I actually stalled our first date and was like, I had just stopped talking to somebody and told her like I wasn't in a good place to date. And then she asked me on a date and I was like, I can't go on a date right now. Cause I literally just told this girl that I wasn't in a good place to date. And she was like, well, you know, I've been out of a relationship for a while now and I am, and I didn't like that. So like 2 days later, I was like, what you doing on Sunday?
Yeah, that's how it goes. This sounds so much like my wife and I, actually. We have an age gap and I had just gotten out of a relationship and I had also just turned someone down and I was like, nah, it's not going to happen. And then I just couldn't stay away. Mm-hmm. Very familiar. It's a lesbian story. That's what it is.
Yeah. Took a picture with her engagement ring in front of a U-Haul just for fun.
Yeah.
Perfect. No, but I guess going back to the IVF part of, you know, how did we get here? I don't think, like I said, I was actually really surprised that, you know, she said, okay, well, maybe, you know, next summer we'll start on trying to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I think I didn't want to put a lot of stock into it because, again, she was in her 20s. I was already getting about to be 40. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, well, you know, we'll just enjoy the summer, right? Mm-hmm. And again, if it happens, it happens, you know. But so COVID happens, you know, and so then, you know, of course that made everybody on lockdown. And even we had friends that were going through fertility treatments or, you know, trying to get pregnant, and COVID shutting down a lot of, you know, some of the clinics and the whole milestones of what it takes, you know, to get pregnant really impacted and delayed their journey. And so it wasn't until, you know, I guess after the summer, we were coming into October, November timeframe. And then she thought, you know, hey, why not
What better time to do this than when we're stuck at home, essentially? And some of our really good friends have gotten pregnant. And I think that it was like, I really liked the idea of our kids growing up together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, no, I was like, I don't want to wait. And then there'd be like this big age gap between mm-hmm. like our friends' kids and our kid. And I was like, I'd rather just, let's just kind of do this now. But I still think that we thought that the process would take a lot longer than it did. Like when we essentially chose a sperm bank, like, I don't think we expected to choose a donor the day we actually signed up.
Impressive.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the first person we clicked on, actually.
Really?
We still continued to look, and we just, you know, we just connected,
kept coming,
you know,
back
with his story and some of the important things that, you know, he wrote about him, his family history. It just was an instant connection.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you pay for the extra bells and whistles? Did you pay for like the voice recording, and did you get childhood photos?
We got childhood photos, but all of that came like with kind of the standard subscription, because we use Seattle Sperm Bank.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And they don't really upsell you on anything.
Oh, really?
That's
so
nice
it all
to hear.
Comes in mm-hmm. one package.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember, like, I don't remember paying anything.
He even wrote a letter to his future potential offspring, which I thought was super cool. He handwrote a letter. Yeah.
Well, that's so nice to have.
That's awesome.
So nice mm-hmm. to have.
And we chose an open donor.
Mm-hmm.
But then even once, so we got to, you know, picking the donor part, and again, it was instant. And I think we'd had a lot of friends that had failed IUIs, and I just wanted to do the at-home kit, you know, let's order it on Amazon Prime. You know, that's mm-hmm. what you do in quarantine, right? Shows up in
so days. Amazing. Like the things that we can do nowadays, mm-hmm. just Amazon Prime it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do it. You know, I went to a couple of years of vet school. I got this.
Just like giving birth to a cat.
But it is, I mean, there's so many families who do it that way. Like, it's mm-hmm. not, you know, it and actually
works. We have friends that have done it at home and got pregnant the first mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. right out of the box. But again, Lily had been around so many friends, you know, talking about all these failed IUI attempts. And I was more concerned that, you know, well, their story is not our story. You know, we could still try it at home a couple of times. And, you know, and then if it doesn't work, we'll, you know, go to IVF. But she was so adamant about going to IVF. And of course,
and why was that, yeah, Lily?
I don't know. It was like, I like to credit myself as a bit of an intuitive person. Because at first we were totally on the same page. Like, yeah, let's just try this at home and see what happens. Like, one of my good friends, that's her and her wife, did it and seemed great. And I'd even asked her, like, to walk me through the process that they mm-hmm. used and stuff. And like, I was so on board, and then all of a sudden it was just like a switch flipped and everything in me just like, we should do IVF. And then it was also like some of the, you know, at first we were like, well, IVF is like a really expensive option. So, yeah. But then,
and we just moved.
We had just moved.
Yeah, and there we had a lot of things going on.
A lot of things were going on. But then
layoffs. You know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we were both working for the same company at the time, and they were having 10,000 layoffs mm-hmm. all at the same time.
But then, that same company rolled out like a new insurance policy, basically, where they offered they paid for IVF.
Benefits.
Yeah, they offered mm-hmm. fertility benefits for LGBTQ couples.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah. So when I found out that they would pay for like the first two full rounds of IVF, I was like,
that's amazing.
I'd rather just go this route.
I would go that route too. Oh my God. If it's paid for, I mean, mm-hmm. I understand not knowing what to do. I get mm-hmm. it, you know, but gee, that's amazing. If only mm-hmm. they all offered this, it would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. I still probably would have been a little reserved about, mm-hmm. you know, going to IVF, just all the shots and, you know, all the hormones and, mm-hmm. you know, she hadn't been on birth control. She's young. I was like, why do you want to pump your body full of all of those things? Whenever mm-hmm. we could still just try.
Mm-hmm. And I work in marketing. I was just looking at statistics. I was like, the success rates, you know, like when you go into IVF with essentially no fertility issues, known fertility issues, that is, then your success rate's infinitely higher, uh-huh. you know, so even than just going and doing a standard IUI. So I was like, well, this just makes more sense to me mm-hmm. right now.
Were you worried about the emotional toll like unsuccessful IUIs would have taken? Was that something that was concerning?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm pretty well aware of like my limitations as a human. And even going through IVF, like I just kept thinking like, man, kudos to everybody that ends up doing this multiple times. Cause I mean, none of those paths are easy, you know, but I think that I needed the structure of IVF. Like, you know, it's a step-by-step process. You know exactly what those steps are. So it wasn't until we got to our transfer that there was really like any amount of uncertainty involved that I had to deal with on a, like on a mental front. Like that was when it was like, this either worked or it didn't.
Right.
But that's a good question. Well, that's Robin. True. I think that's where the rubber hit the road for me, because we, as part of the IVF process, you know, they do what they call a mock transfer. And, you know, so whenever they inflate your uterus with saline, they're able to kind of pick, you know, check out your uterus to see how healthy it is. Right. Well, during that time, they found polyps. And so we would never have known that. And gosh, it makes me emotional. I mean, I was asymptomatic. So it's like, and she was actually really shocked because in my body type, they're really uncommon.
Yeah.
And so she was like asking me all these questions about if I had ever experienced this, this, or this. And I was like, I just thought everybody had period cramps. Like, you know, right? That's pretty common.
Painful, but she asked,
Did you
have painful cramps?
She asked.
By the way, I feel like we hear that over and over and over again. Like, women are conditioned that you are just, you soldier through it. You got this, rather than actually being talking to people. Like so many women like say what they were experiencing wasn't normal. And they had a grapefruit size, you know, whatever in their ovary. And you're just like, come on, man. Like, why don't we check on women more?
But that's because when you do go to the doctor and you say it, most of the time you're met with, well, that's cramps.
This is normal.
This is normal. Yeah. It's like, you're a woman. This is what happens. This is what your plight in life is, you know? And that's why. So we don't come.
And it's not. You had polyps. Exactly. There was a cause. And that's what's so frustrating.
Both in the uterus and in the fallopian tubes.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, we likely would have had multiple miscarriages at that point.
Can you imagine how much heartbreak you saved yourselves?
Oh, that, I mean, really, I give her all the credit. Like I said, I was really pushing back on the fact that, you know, there was no data saying that we should do IVF first. Right. I mean, there was nothing that was pointing us in that direction except for other people's experiences. But again, that wasn't our journey in my mind, you know, and all the signs pointed to a healthy young life that, you know, was fertile. But, you know, there's a lot more to it, you know, than just being able to produce eggs. You know, they have to be able to travel and, you know, grow at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, we were both shocked, I think, a little bit. Like, it was a really quiet car ride home that day. Like, just because I think both of us were kind of absorbing the fact that, like, there was a reason that we ended up, you know,
where we were.
And especially for me, because I was just like, man, like, who knew? I mean, those kind of issues sort of run in my family. My mom's had a hysterectomy. My sister's had a hysterectomy. They had endometriosis and like fibroid tumors. But I just assumed that I kind of escaped all of that.
Yeah.
Because again, nobody had ever said anything to me. So when, after our retrieval, like that's when I had a hysteroscopy and the doctor was like, I'm actually really glad we did this because like your tubes were blocked. Like, you know, this could have ended up being a situation that caused a lot of problems in the long run with you trying to get pregnant.
Wow.
So,
Wow. Talk about intuitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it sure would be nice if the medical industry recognized that, why don't they do these checks on women beforehand, whether you're doing IUI or just getting pregnant, you know, at home, whether you're heterosexual, you know, or part of the LGBTQ community. But the mental health and it's taxing on families that have to experience loss like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something that happens in our community is that we go through, it's a much more stressful process because we're laying out money every time. We're intentional about it, but we also, it's so often medicalized that your awareness, it's not like you're just doing it twice a month or however often, I don't know, straight people do it, but you're like, it's all, you know, around the, you know, whatever, you guys do what you do, straight people, I'm happy for you,
but like, it's like anybody. You're in a,
yeah, all of you, all, everybody do it,
you do it, but as like much as you want,
I mean, everybody have sex anyway, But like you're going from appointment to appointment, and then there's like benchmarks that you're hoping to hit, and that just everything just, or like, you know, I'm going to run out of sperm, or that ratchets money. Things up so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can't discount that, what that does to people.
No, there's no dollar amount that you can put on that. I'm actually talking to our entire company next week to talk about the fertility benefits that I think a lot of people aren't even aware of with the company, because we don't normalize this conversation here. We don't talk about it. And here I was one that, again, was against, you know, I would have been like, yeah, let's just keep trying the Amazon way.
Right. Virginia, for God's sakes, tell your company to bring Jamie and I in to talk about it. We've done several of those talks. We'd be happy to.
Awesome. Awesome. But yeah, this is being broadcasted out to the globe. It's actually a 24-hour P&O on air type thing that they're doing to get across to all of the regions and everyone globally.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
It's really great. Speaking of making babies, you know, I got rid of all toxins during my infertility. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And I still do my best to live toxin-free. I do my best. And that's why I love Thrive Cosmetics. Their products are awesome and are all paraben, sulfate, and phthalate-free and 100% vegan and cruelty-free. I love it.
I love their beauty and skincare products. Jamie, did you know that Cause is in the name for a reason? Because every purchase supports organizations that help women thrive.
Doing the good work.
Right.
That's what they're doing. And I know that we both use the Liquid Lash Extensions mascara.
Such a fan.
I love it. I love that it lasts all day without clumping. It doesn't smudge, doesn't flake. And my lashes look crazy good with this mascara.
Yeah,
I love this
stuff. And I know I've told you a million times, I love how easily it washes off. It just slides right off with warm water and a washcloth. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need soap. And it doesn't leave that yucky black smudge under your eyes, which I used to get all the time, like a lot of other mascaras do.
Yeah. Ooh. I also just tried their Defying Gravity Eye Lifting Cream. It's like a beauty sleep in a bottle. No matter how much I cry the night before, which let's face it, I do a lot of lately because, you know, mom life. But my eyes look refreshed and rested the next day. I love this stuff. It's hiding the struggle well.
Ooh, I need to try that one. I mean, here's a reason I really love using Thrive Cosmetics. Their bigger than beauty mission. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help women thrive. Women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and more. Anything that helps to lift other women up is an A+ in my book.
Mine too, 100%. Now is a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/OCT.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, and it's spelled CAUSEMETICS.com/OCT. And you're going to get 15% off your first order. Woo!
It's great. It's
no
great.
No smudges great. Under your eyes either.
I hate smudges. I hate them. So I want to take it back to your story. You find out, you go to this initial appointment. You have your sperm already, right? You bought the sperm?
Yes.
How much sperm did you buy?
We got 3 vials. Because at that point, like, I knew that we were going to end up doing IVF. And so I just texted, like, one of our friends and was like, hey, what's the safe number here? And she's like, you know, 2 is probably pretty good for IVF, 3 to be safe. So we were like, okay. But now we have 2 vials left that are in storage because it just took the 1.
So you find out you have the polyps, and then what has to happen? Did they have to be removed?
They waited until, so I went through like the standard process of like prepping for the egg retrieval. I did stims and all that. And then we did the retrieval because the hormones can sometimes like flare all that up and create, you know, more in that
more
sense.
Polyps.
So yeah. So they were like, well, we're just going to get you through this first, then we'll do the retrieval. And then after that, you'll have, the hysteroscopy. So I did that after our retrieval.
Can you explain exactly what is a
hysteroscopy? Hysteroscopy. I hope I'm saying that right.
I think you are.
So, I mean, essentially they go in and like just clean out your uterus. They scrape the lining so that everything's primed and ready for a transfer. So it's like And the fallopian tubes.
Brand new.
They put you to sleep for that, right? You're not awake for that.
Yeah, no. I was knocked out.
I have a great video of her coming out of that.
Oh.
Saying crazy things.
like the little kid after his wisdom teeth were out or at the dentist, like that.
Oh, I am a joy on anesthesia.
Sure you are. Oh my God.
But it's a later process, about a month, just because everything's around a cycle, right? You know, I never got so excited about periods. It's like, right? You miss a cycle, you miss a month.
Yeah, I know. And it's so stressful.
Yeah. And then that was like really our second delay, because our first delay was I ended up with a cyst on one of my ovaries. And so they had to wait and see what was causing that. Mm. And then they were like, that was right before my retrieval, I guess. And so they had to watch that for an extra 4 days. Well, it's like 4 days in IVF world is like, you know, you've got like another week or two tacked on to the whole thing. Yeah. So that bummed me out.
I wondered if you said you had a family history of that kind of stuff, if all the meds caused endometriosis or any of that stuff for you, or, you know.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of the symptoms that I feel like a lot of people kind of battle with, all the hormones and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I had one really bad day.
She's looking to Virginia. She's like, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Like, where she was like, can I do anything right today? I'm like, no, nobody can. Nothing.
Probably not. Stop trying.
No. Where it was just like that total storm of hormones in your body. But like, other than that, like, I didn't have, I did like it's like a mini protocol, I guess, or a short protocol. So like, their goal was to get fewer eggs that were higher quality. Yeah. So it's like, once I had 8, which was 3 days into stems, they slowed my meds down.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's okay.
I think it's important to share about what mini IVF is, because we didn't even know. And our friends, a lot of our friends that
talked about this.
Yeah, a lot of our friends have never even, they never knew what mini IVF was.
And
it was on the homepage of our fertility clinic that talks about it.
Interesting, because my wife had our first, and when we went for me to get pregnant, we only had a certain amount of sperm left. So we went straight to IVF for me. I had no issues that you would have ever thought of. So it's interesting that I never heard of a mini IVF. We went straight to the full force IVF.
Yeah. And the amount of meds that we see some of our friends take and the amount of meds that we had to take, because, you know, there were no fertility issues that we knew of at the time. So when we met with a doctor and we requested to do the mini IVF, she really just asked us a series of questions. And like I said, most people come to IVF clinics because they're needing fertility treatment.
Right.
And because we weren't needing that, she approved it. And so the duration.
What is the difference? Can you say what the difference is?
The amount of medication.
I think they'll start to taper you off the meds sooner. Like, you know, we have a lot of friends that went to their retrieval and they had like 28, 30 eggs retrieved. And like, so for me, like once I had those 8 follicles that they could see, they were pretty confident that, you know, they would produce quality, you know.
So they would taper off on the meds. Whereas like me, I'd have 8. And then the next time I went, there's 10. The next time I go, there's 14. Next time I went, there was 18, you know, and I would take the drugs all the way to the end of the cycle. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference.
Right.
And how long was it before you took your trigger shot? Like 5 days?
I think my total was, I think I was on meds for, it was somewhere between 7 and 10 days. So like, it wasn't like any kind of standard, like 14 or whatever. And like I was on far less, like my dosage wasn't as high as like a lot of the people that I talked to and stuff. So like, I've had friends that'll text me and be like, hey, did you have to do this, this, or this? And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. But like, we went into that conversation, that first conversation with our doctor, like, you know, we'd like to be able to do a mini IVF if that's like what we're fit for, assuming I don't have any fertility issues, because I just,
is it cheaper?
That I don't know, just because we used insurance and
it probably is on the med front, because meds are a good portion of the cost. So I guess on the meds, you're ordering less meds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that the meds are like so expensive for that many days for a lot.
I would imagine it's quite a bit cheaper.
I would assume it's cheaper because it's just a shorter
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we chose to do, you know, the mini IVF, you know, portion of it. And then, I mean, as you know, I've already shared with you, I really wanted a boy. And we chose to do genetic testing on those. We got 8 follicles retrieved, 7 of them fertilized.
Wow.
And
ooh, that's so, yeah, so good.
And again, they were going quality over quantity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so 7 of those fertilized, 5 of those matured to day 6 embryos.
That's great.
Wow.
And then we chose to do genetic testing, you know, at that point.
Was that covered by insurance?
That was not. That was the one thing, I guess, because they, I mean, I personally, in IVF, I don't think it should be optional, just because when you think about the fact that 75% of your eggs are, like, you know, basically essentially going to end up abnormal. And so it's like, they can look at them visually and say, well, this visually looks good, but like, you don't know if they have all their chromosomes or anything like that. And so just for a peace of mind thing for me, especially using like donor sperm, it's like, this is another human out there that I don't know.
Exactly.
Like, we picked him from a slightly more extensive version of a dating profile. And I was like, I just want to make sure that we're, you know, putting our best foot forward in that space. So yeah, but that's not covered by insurance.
But then also, since everything else was, that's not a hard thing to pay for. Yeah. That's like, well, we can, because like, this was all covered. Mm-hmm. We didn't, just because we were like tapped out. It was too much, you know, but I wish we could have, because I didn't end up getting pregnant through the IVF. So you know what I mean? But since it's covered, why not? Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And after, how many were good to go?
So we had the 5, and the 5 stayed good to go.
Wow.
And then, well, whenever we got genetic testing back, 3 of them were really good grades. Mm-hmm. Those were the ones that they said, okay, you have these 3 that are high graded. One was a 6AA, which I guess is the highest grade. And that's the one they were going to transfer. So we decided to freeze the other 2 embryos.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, came the big question about, well, what are the genders? Should we know? Should we not know? But she was having such a hard time with if it was a boy. Like, we were actually talking to energy healers and therapists about, I mean, this was a thing.
I'm not a horrible person, I swear.
I completely get it. It's so ridiculous. In the grand scheme of things, we do all realize this is ridiculous. However, in the moment, it's like the most important thing in the world that I have a girl. You know what I mean? Like,
if you take it out of that, so I'm saying yes to what you're saying, Jimmy, but I'm also saying, if you take it out of that and you look at it, like, you're making a decision that affects the whole rest of your life. Like, you're either going to have a girl or a boy. Like, these are 2 totally different people going out into the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. And like, let's say you had a boy and like, he struggles or whatever, you might've been like, oh, I should have chose a girl. Like, that's a big decision.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't have ended up, I really don't think I could have picked at the end of the day.
Like, but I told her to pick. So I really wanted to have one child because of my age. And so she said, if we had a boy, that we were going to try for the second child, because she really wanted a girl. And so at that time I was like, okay, just pick. If we have a girl and it's a high grade embryo, then let's just transfer that one. And then of course she had that internal battle with, but I don't want to mess with the universe.
Right,
the universe says, you know, and so I was like, okay, then we're not picking. So we didn't pick.
You let the doctor pick?
We the morning that we found out the sexes, I actually was on a conference call for work, and she came upstairs and she was shaking. Like, she came behind me and I could just see her hands just shaking. And she just like whispered in my ear, they're all girls.
Whoa.
And well, I was like, dead. No way.
Yeah, the
no.
universe picked. The universe picked for me. But it was just funny.
I kind of love that.
All 5.
Wow.
All 5 embryos were girls.
All girls. I thought I was going to produce.
And so our since then, I mean, we know how many, I guess, children the donor has also produced, how many donor siblings are out there.
Uh-huh.
All the donor siblings, there's about 5 of them, and they're all boys.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
She was just like, what kind of crazy pull with you?
But I found out she was sleeping with a moon rock and had some citrine on the side of the bed. And I mean, all of these things.
Lily's rolling her eyes, but I actually think this is true. Hey, Robin, do your kids eat veggies?
I mean, sometimes.
Mine used to. They actually used to, but recently it's impossible to get them to eat something green, anything green. Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad we found Once Upon a Farm.
Oh, me too. And not just for my kids. Once Upon a Farm is the leading baby food and kids snack company offering organic, cold-pressed fruit and veggie blends, dairy-free smoothies, overnight oats, meals, and more.
I love them too. Once Upon a Farm products are made with whole, organic, farm-fresh ingredients and no added sugars, concentrates, or anything artificial.
Oh my God, and their new immunity blends are made with nutrition-packed fruits and veggies like elderberry and dragon fruit and added probiotics to help support your little ones for the chilly season or really any reason. Plus, I mean, they taste delicious. I tried them after you told me that you liked them, and I'm into them too now. I mean, it's a great go-to health snack.
Yeah, everybody needs a probiotic, everybody. Immunity blends are clean label projects certified, meaning they've been third-party tested for over 400 environmental and industrial toxins, including heavy metals, folks.
And their subscription offering, it is fully customizable so that you can pick and choose from their wide variety of blends or meals, and you could switch it up before every delivery.
From farm to fridge, convenience without compromise. I pack them in my kids' lunches and bring them with me to pick up. They're so convenient.
I mean, and if you all want to get started today, you can enjoy an additional 30% off your first subscription order. Use code OCT at onceuponafarmorganics.com. That's onceuponafarmorganics.com.
Do it.
30%, for God's sakes, get on that.
Good one. Come on.
I really think, like, now in hindsight, I was like, maybe this was just like, I just like needed, you know, when you have a girl, it's like you're dealing with girl parts too. Like, you know your body, you know what their body is going to do and everything too. And I was like, I don't want to have all these conversations with a boy. Like, I was like, my sisters had to do this and it was uncomfortable for them. And I was like, and I would have to make Virginia do all that. I can't do it. So,
but here we are, we have Sawyer Gray on the way.
Wow.
But yeah, now we're in the home stretch, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're at the very beginning of the chaos is where you are, but we won't tell you that. You know this. You have nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Virginia, can I ask you a question? I want to ask you, did you have any considerations like maybe I want to carry, or were you just like, you take this, you got this?
If there was a medical problem where, you know, having a child was something that was an absolute, like, you know, she got super emotional about it and said, I absolutely want a kid, but I can't carry. I would have considered, I didn't really want to, but I would have done that for our family.
What about the idea of not having a genetic tie? Do you have any feelings about that? I mean, I had a lot of feelings about that. So
I had no feelings, but they're my genetics. So I don't know if that matters.
She gave birth to both. I gave birth to only one of mine. So, and I had some feelings about not having a genetic tie to my oldest.
Lily's always been really good at preparing for everything and not even telling you about it. And so even when we got married and she chose to take my last name, you know, a lot of the reason why she did that was because, you know, if we were to start a family, she wanted our baby to have her, you know, my last name. And she wanted my family to feel more attached and tied to our baby. And I come from a very conservative family where, I mean, just being gay is a whole nother topic for a whole nother show. We were kind of concerned how they were going to take it. We both come from very conservative families, really, but her family has been much more welcoming throughout the years, really.
Really?
Your family will get there as soon as they see that baby, if they're not already there.
Yeah, my mom's, I mean, she's been pretty good, and she'll call, check on Lily, and I think my mom just needs to, like, see and feel the baby.
And once she's, you know, we say this all the time, but once she sees the two of you co-parenting together and she sees that the baby responds to both of you as mom or whatever you're calling yourselves, that's when the families come around. That's when the families, it really sinks into them. Oh, no, it's the same.
Oh, this is just
it's
like every
just
other
like
family.
Those
like
two parents whose kid drives me crazy and they drive me crazy too because they cater to their kid. You know what I mean? Like it's all the same.
Thing I think I'm more sensitive to how our families would treat Sawyer. I don't feel like I feel any less connected. I'm not genetically tied to Sawyer, personally, but I just would never want Sawyer to feel any different because of other people and because of where they are in their space.
They'll get there. We have faith.
Yeah, but Lily, how about your family? Let's talk about it. I want to know about how the family's taken it. Also, because you went straight to this chemical route, for lack of a better way of saying it, right? And there is some stigma put on IVF, especially in conservative culture, which I didn't know until I did IVF. And then I heard some stuff from people. And I was like, what? You think that? So I'm just wondering.
Well, Jamie, it's not God's will.
It's not God's will.
What do I know about God's will, for God's sakes, heathen?
I'm looking forward to you answering this question, because I think Jamie hit the nail on the head here.
Like, well, like my parents had no idea how any of that worked.
Right.
She was like, she really wanted to tell them when we started IVF. Like, she wanted to make like a little announcement that was like, we started IVF. I was more reluctant to do that. I was like, can't we just do this like the good old fashioned way and wait until we're pregnant? And she's like, no, because it's a whole process.
I was going by what I thought my family would also respond to. Right. So I felt if I carried my family through the process, they would feel more connected.
I mean, like my mom over the years has gotten like so used to kind of asking the wrong questions that she's hesitant to ask any questions at all, which is just who she is as a person. She's like the sweetest person on the planet and doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously there was a whole time and space where you're an asshole adolescent and you make them feel a certain way about that. And like, now as an adult, I'm like, you can ask questions. It's okay. Like I'll respond.
I won't slam my door when you go into the bedroom.
Yeah, it'll be fine. So it wasn't until like I was probably 6 months pregnant that my mom realized that all of this kind of transpired outside of my body. Like she had no idea that IVF took place so thoroughly in a lab.
Yeah.
you're almost afraid to ask her what she thought happened.
Yeah, I was.
Well, we kind of told them. I mean, we told them for every milestone, but you know, you guys have been through it. It's overwhelming. The acronyms, the terminology, it's just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so it's like every time we talked to them, they were like, what step are you on now?
Yeah.
What are we doing this week? Mm-hmm. So I think your dad didn't really understand the whole like, wait, you're growing this baby in a test tube type environment. They're fertilizing it. And then when they put it in you, you're already how many weeks pregnant? Mm-hmm. Like that's also weird. Mm-hmm. Like, so we had our embryo transfer right after Easter weekend. And so he thinks it's so funny to tell her she's been eggplanted all the time.
Eggplanted.
Dad jokes.
Dad jokes. That's like the name of this episode, though. Eggplanted.
He thinks that it's hilarious.
He would send her little gifts of like a lady who dropped all of her eggs out of a basket and is like trying to get all the eggs back.
But isn't that cute, though? It's like that's like a dad trying to get to you in any way he knows how. Yeah. And I think that's what's interesting is like we have to meet them where they are.
And my dad has like, we're very similar in that neither of us get excited about things until they're like actually happening. And I mean like 5 minutes before they happen. Like we're going on vacation. I'll show excitement when we're boarding the plane. But both of us operate that way. And it took her a long time to get used to that aspect of
like
my
that
personality.
I'm a bit like that too. I can't.
Virginia, I'm with you. My wife doesn't get excited ever. And I'm like, could we show a little bit of excitement? She's like, is this it? Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, that's not it. More.
You can't. You can't get excited until you know it's really, really happening.
Yeah. And I mean, I've always been that way. And so my dad is very much so that way. And so it hasn't really been until like really this month that now he's like, he talks
so excited.
Like constantly about being grandpa and how like, everybody else is like getting backburnered because he's going to have a granddaughter. And
it's just the first grand. I mean, it's the first girl in your family in 30 years
since me.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, yes. That's so exciting. And so there is no hang up about the IVF thing. Mm-mm. That's
not
great.
Not on my side at all.
I cannot wait to hear how both your families, like how it all shakes when the baby comes out and how everybody, you're going to have to give us like an update after. I mean, when you're ready, obviously,
take your time,
for God's sake, you'll have had a baby.
It's going to be a whirlwind.
Your first priority is not ovaries talk, let's be honest. But like at some point, you're going to have to keep us posted.
Oh my God, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
It might be tomorrow.
It might be tonight. Yeah, not tomorrow.
I get a busy day. I have a really busy day.
Please send us pictures and keep us posted on everything. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. This is so wonderful.
I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank you guys.
Isn't it just amazing that Lily knew herself and she knew what was best for her? And it turns out that the more expensive route may have actually saved them money and stress.
I know. It's all advocate for yourself.
Right? I mean, even within your relationship, right? Because she had to make Virginia do what she wanted to.
Oops. I get it. I feel like I do that all the time.
Oh, maybe Anne shouldn't listen to this one. I also love that they talked about, you know, normalizing the talk about benefits and what we need to be doing to be supported in creating our families. I mean, they're just, they're wonderful. I love them. Love them.
And that's an ongoing talk we need to be having.
Yeah.
For sure. And there was a huge question in our, if these overs could talk private group.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Angela, a former listener.
Yeah. Some serious discrimination happening
at their clinic. Insurance company. If you're not in our member group, follow us on Facebook at Ovaries Talk, but then we have a community within that. It's a really active group of people asking questions and stuff. So get in there. That's a good one.
Talking with each other, and we learn things.
We do. And don't forget, if you have questions about this episode or you just want to tell us that you love us, go to sayhi.chat/ovaries, and you can leave us a voice memo up to 60 seconds, and we may use it in an episode.
That would be so fun. All right. So on our next live stream, which is this Thursday, February 10th at 4 p.m. Eastern time, you do not want to miss this episode. There will be someone from Sensitive Matters joining us to talk about these customizable books that they make explaining different routes to creating a family. Right up our alley. Mm-hmm. We need those customizable books. I'm very excited to talk to these people. I know you are too.
Oh, yeah.
And if you miss it live, you can always catch it on our YouTube page later. Absolutely. It lives on in perpetuity.
In perpetuity. All right. Get us on social media, folks. Come be our friend at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, and don't forget, it would do us an honor. We'd be honored if you supported the podcast and you joined our community on Patreon, patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, you get bonus content.
Everybody needs to know, we usually do these in the morning. It is nighttime and we are a mess once again.
I'm like going so fast because I'm starving.
We're so tired. Helen should do these if we have to do it at night again. We should just have Helen do it.
Thank you to our sponsors, BetterHelp, Once Upon a Farm, Thrive Cosmetics. All right, Helen, that's enough. That's enough, Helen.
That's good. That's good. We're going to lose a lot of listeners here.
Thank you, but no thank yes. you.
Yeah, thank you. And a huge thank you to all our Patreons.
Thank you, Helen.
Oh my God, Robin. We just lost like 20 listeners.
Did you just hear my son? He just goes, yeah, Helen. All right, okay,
oh,
good.
Dear. Shoot. Okay, and a huge thank you to all you Patreons who are helping us make this show. We thank you. We thank you all. God. Thanks for tuning in.
We do.
Thanks for putting up with these ovaries. They are a mess, and we know it, but we love you all so much.
We're messy eggs. We're scrambled eggs.
We're so scrambled. Ovaries.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.